As I said, I was going to review today, and so I'm going to start with the group things. I want to do the group buys. So I'm going to the one that says group SQL functions. Because this was one place where people got in trouble. Okay, first of all, would somebody like to get the light that's right here? It's the furthest one to the right. Thank you. That one I'd love to get rid of too, but that one doesn't go away.
No.
So you start out, and first of all, when you do a group buy, you're basically saying, I want to gather all the information in the group. The things that you list can only be things that you group by and things that are going to be gathering information for the entire group, like count, like sum, all of those kinds of things. But you can't list anything in the select that is not being part of the group and not having the group by. The problem is, if I listed name, for example, okay, which name do I take? The group may have five things in it. Which name do I pick? So you can only list the things that you're going to group by. Okay? So then you come down to, all right, I want to do a group, but I want to eliminate certain things as I'm doing the group. So this eliminates as the group is being formed. Okay, so as the group is being formed, I'm getting rid of anything that has a seconc not equal to, a city not equal to seconc. Okay, so I'm doing that as the group is being formed. And that's a real subtle difference. The having, instead of the where, the having eliminates, or keeps, I should say, dealing with the groups. So it's after the groups have been formed. Now the problem with this is that actually you can kind of do both in some cases, and in some cases it doesn't matter, it will work. So if I formed the groups and then eliminated seconc after the groups were formed, that would work too. Okay, there's lots of times not a specific way you have to do it. So on this one, I eliminated seconc as the groups were being formed. But instead, I could have said group by state, and then having said having city not equal to seconc. And so it would have gotten rid of that. Okay? Yeah. Okay. So, but this one is I'm eliminating as I'm going along. Okay? And in the other one, I would have to do it with the city showing. So then I come down, and we're going to look at having in a minute. Okay, come on, you can do this. Okay, so then I can come in and I can do an order by. Okay, so I'm doing order by state, and here I'm doing another Audubon, and I'm ordering by the count that I did so that I can get the count to come up. So I can order by either of those. Okay. Then I get down, and this is what I'd have to do if I were doing the Seekonk up there, is group by state and city. Okay, so I'd have access to city. And then I come down, or just by city for that matter. And here I'm grouping by two things. So I'm saying form groups of states, and then contacts within states. So Amy Koster works in Massachusetts. So I'm listing Amy Koster and then Massachusetts. So I'm grouping by state and then contact within the state. Okay, now if Amy Koster works in both Massachusetts and Rhode Island, she would show up twice there when I'm saying group by state and then by contact. If I just said group by contact, then she would only show up once. But if I say group by state, and then within the state, now group by the contacts, if she was both in Massachusetts and Rhode Island, she'd show up twice. Okay. Okay. Questions? You got to be sure to ask me questions, folks. Okay, the next one gets into, I said, where some year goal is greater than 100. Now remember I said the where is as I'm forming the groups. So I can't have a group that I'm checking and saying, get rid of every group because I haven't formed them yet. The where is forming the group, okay? And I haven't formed them yet, so I can't say eliminate a group. And that's where the having kicks in, is the having can say, now you've got the groups, any group that has a sum of year goal greater than 100, you know, is what I'm looking for. And anything that doesn't meet that, I'm going to eliminate. So I'm going to keep everything that has a sum of year goal greater than 100. But that couldn't be in the where, because in the where, I'm still forming the groups. So I don't have a complete sum. It's the having, where I've got the groups all formed, that I can say, okay, cut out a group, or keep these groups, in which it, what I'm saying there.
They both are trying the same answer, or no?
Oh, no, as you can see up above, it threw out. When I tried to do the where with the sum, it threw it out. Look at the top second example, I guess.
Oh, group function is not allowed.
Okay. It wouldn't allow that there because I didn't have the groups complete yet. The where is eliminating things as the groups are being formed. So I can eliminate things that refer to a particular record and say, eliminate all of those. But I can't eliminate a group thing because the groups haven't been formed. Okay. So then the next one goes down and is eliminating anybody that is John Adams. As the groups are being formed. So as the groups are being formed, it can look at individual records and eliminate John Adams because it's looking at individual records. Once the groups have been formed, I'm not looking at individual records anymore. I'm looking at the groups. And so now I can say having some year goal greater than 100. Okay? So I eliminated John Adams as I was forming the groups. And then once the groups got formed, I can say, okay, I've got all these groups. I only want to see the ones where the sum is greater than 100. Isn't that what I said? Yes. Where the sum is greater than 100. Does that make sense? Would somebody look like they think it makes sense? Ask questions, please. Yeah. Wait a minute. He's asking. Okay.
So, like, it's not only like certain things when you're that you can use with where and having. If you want to use them both together.
Well, with the having, you can definitely only use things that. The things that form groups, like the sum, the count, and all of those can only be with the having. Okay, those can't be with the where, because I haven't got the groups formed, so I can't ask about the groups.
So having can use functions then?
Yes. Right. And where can use functions too, it just can't use group functions. Okay, there's functions, I mean, I could eliminate everybody that had uppercase of state equal to MA, or lowercase of state equal to MA. I can eliminate particular records. I mean, that's the other thing, is the where is looking at each individual record as it forms the groups. And so the where is looking at individual records. The having is looking at, okay, these are the groups that I formed. So when I form groups, I say group by, and it forms all the groups. Then after the groups have been formed, the having can look at those groups and keep some, eliminate some, or whatever. But the having is acting on the groups. Okay.
So, I think it's what I'm getting out of it. So, where kind of looks at each record compared to how having looks at all the records?
Looks at the groups. Okay? Looks at the groups that have been formed. And in this case, I'm forming a group that has a state, a contact, and a sum year goal.
Is that sometimes your goal?
Say that again? The sum year goal means I've got them grouped by state and then contact within the state. And then I will group by the, I will not group by, I will show the sum year goal. So I'm showing the state, the contact, and the sum year goal. But I might have had a bunch of them, okay? So if I went in, I might have had three more here. But those three didn't have a sum year goal greater than 100. So they're not going to show up. So when I originally formed the groups, let's say I ended up with six groups, okay? Then when I've got the six groups, I said, okay, I only want to see the ones that have a sum of year goal greater than 100. That eliminated, we'll say, three groups. Okay? Yeah?
Just a quick question. Why is the sum required for the yearbook? Because each person only has one yearbook, right?
That's what I was looking for too.
Right, but each person only has one year goal, but I want to get the sum for a contact within a state. So if you look at the data, more than one person has the same contact. So Amy Costa may show up for multiple people. So I want to get the sum of the year goal for all the people that Amy Costa is the contact for.
Oh, I get it. For example, Amy Costa is 150, so she might have somebody for 100 and somebody else for
50. That's right.
Oh.
So Amy Costa, if you look at it, is, I don't know if she is, but somebody is got multiple people.
All right, so but they say if you weren't going by sum of your goal and somehow you're just able to get your goal, would where work in that sense?
Say that again?
If you weren't using sum, would the where work?
Sure. You can say, I want to eliminate, as I'm forming the groups, I want to eliminate anybody that doesn't have, have a year goal of 1,000 or 100 or whatever. So I can say where year goal less than 100.
That makes more sense. You need a having if you're doing something that's combined by a group.
By groups.
Yeah.
And the where gets at the individual records.
Yep. All right. That makes sense. All right.
Okay. So I think you know, let's say John Smith had multiple records that he was the contact person for, because the contact person is assigned to multiple people, okay? So if John Smith had multiple people, his sum is all of the people that he's been assigned to, which is 500. So that might be a 200, a 100, and another 100, another 100, whatever. Could have been a whole lot of people. They're now in a group, because I'm grouping by contact. So John Smith's people are all in a group, and that 500 is now made up of, that 500 came from multiple records, okay? So I've got multiple records in there, and now I'm saying the groups have been formed. I only want to see ones where the sum year goal is greater than 100. Questions? Does it make sense? A little?
No, I'm starting to get it now because I was confused why I couldn't use the where earlier, but it makes sense. We can't use it as a function.
Right.
As in, so I hope I get it now. I can't guarantee it.
Well, my money back. Okay, those are just minimums of the average. Okay, minimums of the average means I'm getting an average for the states and I want the minimum one. Okay. Group by state means if I wanted to, I could have showed the state up here.
Yeah,
because I grouped by state, I didn't, so because I just wanted the amount that was the minimum.
Exactly, you could have, like you said, you could just select state, comma,
yes.
Average.
That's right. Minimum average in that case. Questions?
That looks like pretty. I think I get this. Cool.
Okay, the next one I think we ran into was relational databases, so I'm going to look at that one. And that has all of these tables and how they join, and that's the big thing going on here. Those are just all showing the tables. So I have in this system an inventory table. And the inventory table has an item number, and I'm looking to see if I can remember what it's called, but we'll go with just item number. Okay? And that is its primary key. Okay, so that's the primary key on the inventory table, is the item number. The item number has, the table and inventory has other things like item name, on hand, on order, reorder point, all of those kinds of things. Price, cost, there's a lot of things. So everything in my inventory is going to have a record on my inventory table. Okay, and everything is going to have a unique item number, and so that item number is the primary key. Now, looking at this example, there is also a department on the item table that tells what department things are in. Okay, and I had in my example, there was a book department, a sports department, and a toys department. So the department was either the BK for books, SP for sports, or QY for toys. Okay? So, that's where my department is. Then I have a department table and the department table has the department as the primary key. Okay, that's the department. And it also has things about the department. Things like department name, manager's name, that kind of thing. So it has information about the department. Okay? So now if I want to get, print out my inventory, and I want to include, let's say, the department name, I can't get the department name with just the inventory table. I have to link over to the department table that contains the department name. The department name is over on the department table. So I have to link over to that to get it.
With depth, right?
With depth. So I have this links into that, which makes this a foreign key. Because a foreign key is something that links in, okay? And it links to, just a minute, it links to the primary key. A foreign key links to a primary key. It doesn't link to another field, it links to a primary key. And so department is linking up to the primary key on the department table, and then it can get out the department name. Okay, yeah.
Can I achieve the same thing with a view?
Yes. Could you achieve the same thing? Yes. In other words, the same output? Yes. Okay. But the view would have to do the linking. So something's got to do the linking. Here I'm doing the linking here. The advantage to a view is that if I frequently want to do this link, then I can set up a view that contains it, and then I can just say execute the view as opposed to writing the code again. Okay. So here, when I am doing this, I am listing the item number, the item name, and I then list the department. And the department appears on both tables, so it has to have the table name in front of it because it appears on both tables. If it doesn't appear on both tables, then it doesn't get confused. If I say, show me item number, well, item number's only on one of those two tables, so it can show it to me without any problem. But anything that is on both tables, it makes the obvious question, you want me to show it to you, which one do you want me to show you? And so the way to tell it which one you want it to show you is to put file name or table name dot field name. And then it tells you which one. Now, because I'm doing the link, it really didn't matter which one I chose. Because I am saying in the where clause that I want to match those two anyway. I want it where the department on the inventory table is equal to the department on the department table. And the department table really should have been spelled out, because that's what I did with it. Okay, so it's the department table. So I'm saying, take this information from, and I'm listing the two tables that I am using, and then saying, okay, and this is the relationship between the table. The department will link to the department on the primary key department on the department table. Okay, so I'm doing the link. If I do not do a link, it will give me every possible combination. So if I have 20 things on inventory and 5 things on department, for everything on inventory, it will show me all 5 departments. And so if I have 20 and 5, I'm going to get 100 things showing. Okay. This way, if I have 20 things in inventory, 20 things will show. Okay? But if I don't link them, it gives me every possible combination. And so I will get 100 things if I have 20 and 5. So that shows the linking between the two tables. Okay? And so Now I come in and I have two other tables that I'm putting in here. I have an orders table and an order line table. And somewhere along the line, I have a customer table. Inventory customer. So I have an inventory C's on that one. Okay. So I've got an inventory customer table, and it is going to have a customer ID. And that's going to be the primary. So I'm going in on this next one, and I want to get the order number. Okay, so I've got an order number up here. What did I call that? Just order number. Now, a lot of companies will come up with a unique ID number, and they'll have a series of it, and the next person that places an order gets the next ID number. And then, so it doesn't matter whether the next person that places an order is from Boston or Rhode Island, they're going to get a unique ID number. If that wasn't the case, you might have to have a compound in the primary key. But we're assuming that a unique order number is assigned for the orders, okay? So that's the primary key. And in this one, I'm actually only using those two tables. So I am getting information where the customer ID is going to be equal. So this one is going to have a field called customer ID. The primary key is the order number, but it also is going to tell the customer ID. So if I link the customer ID to that, I can find out what the customer's name is, what the customer's address is, and all that good stuff. Because the order is not going to contain that. It's just going to contain who the customer was. Because every time that customer places an order, I don't want to have to come up with their name and address on the order. I just want to have their ID, and that will link me over to their name and address. Okay, so that will link me to the name and the address of the customer. I don't want to repeat. So the order, if you think about an order, if you get an order, you have up here at the top the customer information. You have the order number. You have the date. You have all of that kind of basic stuff. This order was placed on a particular date. This is the customer that placed it. Okay, so the date is also part of this. And then you have down below it all the things that they ordered, and those all come from the order line table. Okay, because they may order one thing or they may order 20 things. And we talked about the fact that you can't have a repeating group in the order table. Okay, or at any table. You can't have a repeating group. So what we do is we establish information about the order itself, and then order line, if the order is for five things, there'll be five records over here for each of the five things that were ordered. Okay, if there were 20 things, there'll be 20 records over there for the 20 things that were ordered. And that information can then be used, come down here and print it out. Okay, the order line table will also link over to the inventory table because I will tell it the item number, and it will link over to the inventory table where it can match and get the name of the item, the price of the item, and all that good stuff. Yeah.
Just wondering, what's linking Borderlands to the other two tables right now?
Absolutely nothing, because I haven't put it up there.
Okay. I just see arrows, so I was going to look.
No, the auto one, okay, if you look, let me take a picture of this before I go scrolling off.
Sure.
The auto line is there, and it has auto number, item number, and number audit. Okay, so this is going to have those three things. It's going to have auto number. It is going to have item number, and it is going to have number audit. How did I spell that? Anyway, order. Okay, the number audit. So the order number is going to link in over here and get the information that it needs. The item number is going to link in over here to get the item information that it needs. And that information can then be put down here. Okay? So we put on that order, and then the item number will go over and grab the name of the item and the price of the item and all of that kind of stuff.
So since borderline is linked with orders, is it like indirectly linked with inventory customer then?
Sure. Because I can get to the customer name by going over here to the order number and then grabbing the customer ID and going over there. So I can link over there. And where what I would write on my where clause is where order line order number equals orders order number and customer ID orders or orders customer ID equals inventory customer ID. And that's how I would link them. And in fact, I think I have one of those in here. Yeah. Okay. So there is one down below where I said I want to use the orders, the order line, and the invoice and inventory. I've probably got one with customer ID, but this one was the one that I pointed out, where I've got order number on the orders equal order number on the order line, and item number on the order line equals item number on the inventory. And if I don't have an example of that, it could have been customer there instead of inventory, if I wanted to link over to that. And I don't know if I have that one. Yeah, this one has everything. Because I'm saying here, I want to take the order number on the orders file, and that will be linked to the order number on the order line file, and the customer ID on the orders file will be linked to the customer ID on the inventory customer, and the item number on the order line will be linked over to the item number on the inventory. So I've got four tables there linked together. So that will give me, having those four tables linked will give me everything that I need for this, because the customer information came from inventory customer. The order information and the date of the order came from orders. The information down here started out from order line, but it had to go over to inventory to get the name of the product and the price of the product. So essentially, those two things were used to create the three lines there. And so you can see that all four tables were involved in making that report of what the order was. Okay. So as I mentioned when we were first talking about this, the design is critical. You know, you want to sit down and really spend a lot of time thinking through all the things you might want to do and doing the design. Because you don't want to repeat anything except the linking things. Those are the only repeats that you want. Because repeats mean maintenance in more than one area, and you don't want to be maintaining in more than one area, more than one table. Okay, so you only want the things that link. And I think I talked about one possibility is if you wanted to, sometimes people will take the price from the inventory table and put it on the order line because they want to make sure that the price they quoted the customer is the price that they are going to do when they fill the order, and the price could change. And so they grab the price from the inventory table and put it on the order line table, meaning this is, and then they call it quoted price. So again, it's not really a duplicate, because price is the price that I'm currently selling the product for. Quoted price is the price that I quoted to the customer. And so the price that they should be billed on. So I can keep quoted price over on the order line table. Questions? Is it making more sense? A little bit?
Well, I said this.
Questions before I make it all go away. Okay, then we're going to look at subqueries. And I've got some examples that we'll either get to later today or Thursday where I showed you kind of two ways to do things. When I was using two tables, but these are just using one table. So what I'm doing here is simply saying, select the ID, the name, the year goal, and the contact. And those are all on the donor. And I only want to say that I want to see the records where the year goal is greater than the year goal of Susan Ash. So they had to come up with a good way of me finding out what the year goal of Susan Ash was. And if I'm writing a program, I can do a lot of commands sequentially, and I could find that out very easily. But here I've got one select that I'm doing, and we really need to go in and find out the year goal for Susan Ash, and that really is kind of a separate thought. So they came up with this idea of a select within a select. I still only have one select that's being executed, but when I execute that select, I'm sneaking in another select, basically. And that's the reason for a subquery.
That's it, right? You couldn't do another select and a select and a select. I don't know why you want to do it, but
you can do as many as you want.
Oh, really?
As long as you do it right. Okay, I can have for where year goal is greater than this, and amount is greater than with another select, and with another select. I can keep going. I've got examples in here of two. I don't think I went to three, but you could. So I'm saying here, the easy way to find out what the year goal that Susan Ash has is just to ask it. And so I'm saying, select year goal from donor, where name is like Ash. And that's we know it's Susan Ash, so we're going to get her year gold. Okay? So, what I've done is I've found a clever way to ask two questions in one. Because I've said, okay, now go out and find the year gold of Susan Ash. And once you know what that is, show me all this information where the year gold is greater than that one of Susan Ash that you just went and found. So it essentially lets me go out, ask a simple question, like what is the year goal for Susan Ash? Take that number in and use it with my main select, where I'm saying select these four fields from DONA where the year goal is greater than. Okay, now, a lot of you, when you did this, cheated. Or did some of these, you cheat. When you did some of the ones that I gave you for homework. And you go and look up Susan Ash and find out where your goal is, okay? No. If you have 100,000 records, you don't want to go in and go through in every one of these, look up something separate, etc. And so you want to have it so that it's all automated. So I say, select years old from DONA where name is like, and then I can, you know, go out and do the other part. Okay. Because the way you cheat is basically by saying, I'm going to do that inner select separately. And you may do it visually by looking, since there were only six records, but if there were 100,000, you'd go in and say, find the record for Susan Ash. And then once you found it, you could find the year goal. So essentially, when you have that desire to ask two questions, a subquery lets you do that. Unless you ask an embedded question, use the result of that in another select. Okay? So, greater than, less than, or equal to are expecting only one thing to be returned. Okay, so if I'm using the greater than, the less than, the equal to, I'm expecting one thing to be returned. If I'm expecting multiple things to be returned, I can use the in, the any, and the all. And those allow multiple returns. So in this case, I said, show me, the inner select says, show me the drive number where the contribution amount is greater than 20. And there's going to be a bunch of them. Okay? So show me the drive number from the donation table where the contribution is greater than 20. And it's going to return many of them. It returns the many of these. And then it says, okay, show me this information where the drive number is one of the ones that got returned. Okay, so I'm returning potentially many. I mean, I could return none, but I'm potentially returning many. And so I'm now saying where the drive number is one of the ones that was returned. That's what in means. It's where it's one of the ones that was returned. Questions? Yeah.
No, sorry, sure.
Okay, I can use average in there. So I can say on the inner query, go figure out the average. And now I want to see everybody whose goal is greater than that average. Now, one of the nice things about this is down here where I'm using two different tables. If I were using two different tables, I would have to do a join of the tables. The where ID on this table equals ID on that table or whatever. Using a subquery lets me use the two tables without linking them. And lots of times that's just a cleaner solution But lots of times you could do it with a link if you wanted to. Okay, and I've, as I said, I've got a few examples like that that we'll look at in a bit. But this one lets me have two tables involved without linking the two tables. So I'm just saying, and the inner select is always done first. So I said, go find the ID numbers from donation where the contribution amount is greater than 20. So a bunch of ID numbers probably come back. And now I'm saying, okay, now go to the donor table and find all the records that match that ID. Okay. And it probably would have been better if I had actually shown the ID up here so that you could see it. But anyway, I got the information that I wanted. So I said, go to the donation table, give me all the IDs where a contribution amount is greater than 20. Once I've got those, I'm saying, show me the name and the year goal from a different table, from the donor table, where the ID is one of those ones you returned. So the ID is one of the ones you returned. Okay? So that keeps me from having to link the two tables together. Now this one gets into basically all of the things that we just talked about. The inner one goes out and does an average. And so it returns the average of year goal. Okay, so that's returned one number, the average. Whatever that number is, it's returned one number, the average. And now that I've got the average, it's like that doesn't even exist anymore. That inner select doesn't even exist anymore because I have the average. That's what the goal of the inner select was to get me the average. Now I have the average. So I say, okay, now I want to see the state and the contact and the sum of the year goal from the donor. I'm grouping by state and contact, and I'm looking for all the records that have a sum year goal greater than whatever the average was. So we did this problem before where I said having sum year goal greater than 100, I think was what I said. Okay, so greater than 100, I hard-coded in the number that I wanted. This time, instead of hard-coding it in, I'm saying I want to compare it to the average. You go figure out the average, and then I'll compare it. Yeah.
Do you necessarily need to separate to find the average? Couldn't you just have the function within?
But then I wouldn't get to show the...
Oh, okay. No, I was just wondering.
No. No, you don't. But as I said, it seemed like a good example for showing a select. And then you asked about the combined, the three selects before, and there's the example.
Oh, shoot.
Okay, so I want to say where the date first is in whatever gets returned from this. And the state equals whatever gets returned from that. Okay. And as I mentioned, I'm sure when we did this, you have to be careful on this one because the city is Seekonk and I happen to be okay because I've only got Massachusetts and Rhode Island, but if I had other states, maybe there's a Seekonk in another state. And so you probably would want to do an in there, as opposed to an equals, because Seekonk might well show up in other states.
So when that's being when your peer reads it and they're trying to get you that information you asked for, is it kind of working backwards? Is it going from is that last end statement prioritized going up? Or?
It goes and does the inner selects first. And I would guess that it does the first inner select and then the second inner select and returns them, but I don't know the magic formula that makes Oracle make lots of bucks. But they're going to do the two subqueries, come back with that, and then where date first is in the group that got returned from the date first question, and state is equal to, or as I said, better to have said in. Okay. So it's returning a state here, and it's returning a date first here. And obviously you have to have them match what you're returning. Okay, I'm looking for date first compared to date first. I'm looking for state corrected to state. I can't, you know, have a comparison that said select city, because city's not going to match the state. And I had one in there where I had an or. And then I've got examples with any and all. And basically, the difference is any says any of the things that were returned. Where year goal is greater than any of the things that were returned. And all says greater than all of the things that were returned. Okay? So in these two examples, I'm getting the minimum year goal for each state. Okay? I'm getting the minimum year goal for each state. And then I'm saying, show me everything where your goal is greater than all of them. Okay? And there was only one where it was greater than all of them. And any meant greater than any that came in. So you're going to pick up more with any. You know, all is if it returns 100, 200, and 300, it's got to be greater than all three of those. Any is it can be greater than if it returns 100, 200, and 300. If it's greater than 100, we're fine. Because it can be greater than any of them. I think that's the end of that. And then you can start to get even more complicated with these, where I'm saying select asterisks from inventory, where the department item class is in the department item class. Okay, so I'm asking it to return two things, and I'm looking for a match to those two things. Okay, so my inner select I did down here, and I said, select the department item class from inventory where the reorder point, the bar, and the price. And what it returned was those things. Okay? So that's what got returned, and that's what the outer select is going to be working with. Okay? I did the inner select. And the outer select is going to be working with those. So the outer select is saying, select asterisk from inventory where department item class, and that's my grouping, is in this group. So what I'm going to get as a result is combinations of TYCH and combinations of SPBK, because those are the two things that got returned. Okay, it returned three, but two of them are the same. So it only returned really TYCHSPBK. And so now I say select asterisks from inventory where that unit. And so I go through and okay, this has the SPBK, this has the TYCH, so I'm going to show those. So in this case, I didn't want to just compare on one thing. I wanted to compare on two things. Questions? Okay, and then the next one I did the select department from and the select item class from, and then go back and take those two. So in this one, I was looking for a payer. I was looking for department and item class, the payer. Down here, I'm not looking for the payer. Okay. I'm just looking for the department and looking for the item class, but I'm not looking for the payer. So those are the things I got when I got department. Those are the things I got when I got item class. So I'm looking where the department is in the department group here, and item class is in the item class group here. But it doesn't have to be a payer, okay? So as long as I have one of these things in department and one of these things in the item class, then I'm happy. And this is another one where I had a payer on hand and on order. I think those are basically more of the same. Okay, where do we stand? As far as, does this make any more sense than it did before?
I don't understand how it's, like, working with the pair. Like, the pairs for the,
Okay. Well, let me go back and find it.
Actually, the pair.
Okay, so here I said I wanted a combination of department and item class. And I wanted specific combinations. I wanted combinations where the reorder point was greater than or equal to 25 and the price was greater than 15. And so I went in and I said first, I want to get those payers. I want to know what the payers are that meet my criteria of reorder greater than or equal to 25 and price greater than 15. So I just decided to run that query. Show me the payers, where item, payer of department and item class, where the criteria is where the reorder point is greater than or equal to 25, the price is greater than 15. So when it ran that, it came back with the TYCH and the SPVK. Okay, that's what it came back with, is the payers that met my criteria about reorder and price. So it brought me those payers. So then I said, okay, now go back to inventory and show me every record that has those payers. Show me all the records that have those payers. So it went in and showing all the records that have those payers, it took anything that had an SPBK, because that was one of them, and anything that had the TYCH. Okay. So I could have done this in two separate queries. But the problem was, then I wouldn't get one answer. Okay, I would have had to have gone the first one and then come back and said, okay, TYSBBK, and then I could have said select Axfree for inventory where department equals TY and item class equals CH, or department equals SP and item class equals BK. So rather than doing that, I said, it makes sense to make this all happen at once. I'm going to have a subquery. Yeah.
So is this like almost unofficially forming a link in a way, or?
I don't think it's forming a link as much as it's coming back and telling me what meets my kind of bizarre criteria.
Is it almost an and statement, like where something has this and that?
Well, if I had to do the upper one alone, it would be an and statement, yes. So if I knew the TYCH and SPBK, the ones I was looking for, then I could write the top statement and say, select asterisk from inventory, where department equals TY and item class equals CH.
Okay.
Or department equals SP and item class equals BK. So I could have gone back and done that if I knew. But I decided I wanted to find out because I had strange criteria. So I wanted to find out the department and item class. And just please don't ask me why I'd ever want to know this, because I have no idea why I ever want to know that, but it made for a good example. You do get people asking strange questions and wanting to know the result. Does that answer your question at all?
I think so. I'm just still trying to like think of like how useful like this, how trying to pair things together would be.
That's situational, and right? You have to. There could be a database that you're maintaining that actually has a lot to do with pairs, like maybe SKU numbers and items. No.
Sure. You know, I wanted to know the department that it was in and the item class within that department. And for some reason, I wanted to know that information. I wanted to know departments and the item class, which is kind of the category within the department. Why I'd want to know it for that particular criteria, whatever. But I might want to still know the combination. As I said, you get some very strange questions.
Sure.
Okay, one of the ones I'm going to kind of skip over to the thing I stood and I said, and still more examples, because I actually have something in there that's similar to what you've been asking about. So go to my page and look at and still more examples. The other two examples came from last week that I didn't get around to going over. But okay, so this one I'm just showing the tables that I was using, and the donor table doesn't show up very well, so I set the line size to big, so that it wouldn't scroll, you know, it wouldn't wrap. So you can set the line size at the SQL prompt so that it doesn't wrap. So down here, what I wanted to go was using subqueries and alternatives. So you can basically accomplish the same thing in these. Okay. So here I went in and I selected the drive name from the table. And here, instead, I just put it in parentheses and put all the drive names. Okay, so obviously it was easier, since I have a drive table, to go into the drive table and get them as opposed to writing all of the drives in part of my thing. But I could have done it that way. I could have just written them out as individual things. And here I did one, and this is the one I was actually looking for, where I wanted to use a subquery, and so I said select drive number where drive name equals animal home. And then when I got whatever came back from that, and it was obviously going to be only one, so I didn't have to use an in, then I can use a select. And I did it a second way by using both tables, and that's the point I was trying to make. Okay, I have the two tables there to do it with the subquery. Or I can go in and use both tables. But if I use both tables, I have to do the linking. And so, to my point of view, it's a lot easier to do the subquery than it is to do the linking. Okay, but the subquery returned the drive number for animal home, and then I could go in and the drive number was 200, so I got all of those. In this one, I said link them together, and I want also drive name equal to animal home. So it linked them all together, and then if the drive name, if it wasn't 200, it can show up. Okay? Because it eliminated anything that wasn't animal home. So that's a way that I could get the same thing. And then I had one that I couldn't come up with a reasonable alternative to, and that was basically the Susan Ash one. Only this time I used Susan Ash. And I really couldn't come up with, I tried playing around with that, and I couldn't come up with a good, reasonable alternative. Because I wanted not only the year goal greater than Susan Nash, Ash, but I also wanted N State equal to Massachusetts. And a subquery let me see that very clearly, but I tried a variety of things to try to make it come out, and at least I didn't find one that I thought worked well. Okay, there's one more, I think, in there. But we are basically out of time, and I want to go over that one. So we will do a little bit more of this on Thursday and then start looking at constraints. Questions?
So far, none.